pastor wanted me to step back up here tonight and share with you a little bit about something that the Lord spoke to me last week. And, some people like fancy titles. So I've got a title for you. Put it up there, Noah. God is like a cheesecake. God is like a cheesecake. Somebody was saying, how in the world, where is he going with this? Well, just hang with me and I'll show you here in just a few minutes. Amen. God is like a cheesecake. I want you to look tonight at 2 Timothy chapter 1. Thank you, Adam. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Chapter 1, verse 12. This is what Paul says. Paul says, for this reason, I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Now look at that second phrase again. I know whom I have believed.
Yes, sir.
That's what I want to talk to you about tonight. Do you really know who you have believed in? We talk a lot about God. We think a lot about God. We pray to God a lot, but do we really know him? You know, Paul, when he wrote these words, was in the dungeon. This wasn't the good days when he was just chained in his own house and people could come and go. This was a time when he was literally in a dungeon. And about the only person that was still left around him at this time was Luke. Now, you know, there's just something about being in a dungeon that'll make you question your faith. I mean, you know, when you get down in that dungeon and it's dirty and cold and wet, and you know, how many of you, I know some of you felt like before you were in a dungeon. You were just at a place in life and you couldn't get out, and it'll make you question. And that's not necessarily bad. Paul, in the middle of this, he pens these words to Timothy. I know whom I believed in, and I am committed. That word could also be translated as convinced. I know who I believed in, and I'm convinced that he's able.
Yes, he is.
And that's where most of us run in trouble, right there.
Yes, sir.
You guys know I've been sharing here the last few weeks about going to Kenya, and I've been sharing about the problems in Kenya and what I'm trying to do. We got people hungry. We're trying to feed them. Last Thursday morning, I was sitting on my porch, my back porch, which I do a lot of times in the cool of the morning, have my coffee, and me and the Lord talk a little bit. And I was talking to him about Kenya, and I was talking to him about the problems and how big the problem is. And I asked him a question. I said, Lord, how much money do you want me to raise for Kenya? And immediately this number pops into my mind, and I started laughing. I pulled a Sarah. I started laughing because this number, I haven't told anybody this number other than my wife to this point. But I started laughing, and I laughed for a minute. And my first thought was, well, that number came out of my own mind, you know.
Yes, sir.
That's the first question we have. But then I stopped and thought, no, I'm not stupid enough to put that number in there. And I said, Lord, was that you? And the number just, it's like it flashed in there again. And I thought, whoa. And so I'm sitting there now, and I'm kind of down because I just can see no possible way in the flesh for this to happen. Okay? I just can't see it. And as I'm sitting there, the Lord spoke something to me. This is what he said. He said, your no's got to be bigger than your no. I thought, wait a minute, what? Now, some of you might have caught that real quick because I just read a verse to you, see. But I hadn't just read that verse that morning. I thought, your no, first I thought he said your nose has got to be bigger. I said, no, that's not what he said. Your no has got to be bigger than your no. I said, Lord, what in the world are you saying? And he said, write it down. So I just grabbed a note card. I keep note cards there, and all I have is a Sharpie, and I wrote it. This is what I wrote. This is the actual card. I scanned it. He said, get your no. This is the way I wrote it without even thinking. Your K-N-O-W. Bigger than your no. You see, my problem was my no was bigger than my no.
Yes, sir.
And what he was telling me was this no's got to be bigger than this no. Because if this no's big enough, this no don't matter.
That's right.
Matter of fact, if this no's big enough, there'll never be a no here.
Right.
If this no's big enough, this will always be a yes.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Come on. That's good, sir.
But you see, most of us, that's not the case. We might say we know who we believe. We might say we know who we've saved. But the problem is, most of us, we got a Sunday school knowledge. We believe he could part the Red Sea for the Egyptians. We believe he could put Noah in that ark and float him around for all those days. We believe all that stuff. But when it comes to that big number popping in my mind, no, that ain't going to happen. The question tonight is this. Do you know who you've believed in? Now, what I'm going to try to do in just the next few minutes, I'm going to try my best to reintroduce you to God so that you can know, so that you can have a know that's bigger than your know, so that you can have a know and never have a know. That's really the way I want to say it. So that I can have a know and never have a know down on the bottom. Now, in order to do that, you're going to have to bear with me for just a few minutes here, because what I'm going to do first, I'm going to give you a little theology lesson. You know, we don't teach theology much in churches anymore. Everybody'd rather run up and down the aisles and shout than they had to learn theology. Problem is, when you do that, you never figure out who the know is. Amen? So I'm going to give you about a 10-minute theology lesson here, but please stay with me, because I promise you, if you do, I'm going to take you somewhere with this. But I got to teach you a little something first, all right? So the question really is, who is God? Or what is God? That's the way a lot of the world would say it. Who is God? What is God? And those are questions that all of us have probably thought, struggled with at different times. Sometimes we word it a little differently and we say, where is God? But the bottom line is, it's very difficult for us to understand God. Because we're sitting here with a finite mind. We're bound by time, moment by moment by moment, by minute by day, by year, by lifetime. And we're bound in that time. But God is outside of that. And when we use the word, the English word infinite, we really don't know what we're talking about. We can't comprehend it because everything we know is finite. Everything we know started and stops at some point. Or changes. But who is God? See, the problem that happens here most of the time, unfortunately, is that we tend to answer that question from our point of view and not God's point of view. In other words, we tend to answer that question from the bottom up rather than the top down. Humanly speaking, that makes sense because that's where we are. But if you're really going to understand God, you've got to stop looking at him from the bottom up. Look at Isaiah chapter 46. Chapter 46, verse 5. To whom will you liken me and make me equal and compare me that we should be alike? Yeah. Who are you going to compare? You see, our problem as humans is that anytime we try to get a picture in our mind of who God is, we're comparing to something else we know. You say, well, God is good. Well, we take then the best person we know and we make God a little bigger. And we struggle with that because we're trying to, but the danger, the real danger of that is this. If you try to look at God from the bottom up, from our point of view looking up, what ends up happening is you begin to create him in our image rather than realizing you're created in his image. Look at Isaiah 46 again, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times, things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. There is no other like him. But we try comparing ourselves to him. But you see, God also does not even think the way we think. A lot of people will come to me and they'll say something like, you know, I just don't understand how God could do this or that, or how God could allow this or that. Well, you're not supposed to. Because you don't think like God does. And that's probably a good thing. Because if God thought like I did, the world would be a lot different right now, and it probably wouldn't be better, to be honest with you. And so we try to put it that way. Look at Isaiah 55. He doesn't think the way we do. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. What he's saying is, you'll never understand how I think. You'll never understand it. And therefore, if you don't understand how I think and how I do, you'll never really understand what I do. Only what I reveal to you will you understand. And so we have to learn, and that's part of questioning God. But our thinking is always from that bottom up. And we end up creating him in our image rather than being created in his image. And what it also does, it causes us to define God according to our own limitations. If I can't do it, God can't either. And see, that's exactly what I did last week with that number. When that number popped in, I said, I can't do that. I didn't even stop to think, well, God can. That's the way we think. That's the way the enemy wants us to think. The first step in understanding God as much as we can is to understand that is to think of him as one who is not like us. God is not even the same kind of being I am. Just because I'm created in his image doesn't make me and him the same kind of being. He is totally different from me. I have attributes that are created in his image, but he is totally different from me. And the first thing I have to understand is he's not like me and I'm not like him, other than those attributes. Thoughts, ways, understanding. We're very quick to tell God what he should and what he shouldn't do. When we see, you know, I use this illustration a lot of times. I may have used it here before. If I have, forgive me, but I'll give it to you again. How many of you like to do jigsaw puzzles? Those big ones. I got a few hands up. A few of you are bored. Okay. Take those big 1,000-piece jigsaw puzzles, right, and you throw them out on the table. First thing you do is you turn all the pieces up so you can see them, and then you start shifting colors. Like everybody's got their own way of doing it, right? But you start moving those pieces around, you find one here and one there. But one thing you definitely do, before you start doing all that, or at least everybody I've ever seen, when you dump it out of that box, you take that box lid and you sit it over here on the corner of the table. Yes, sir. So I'm watching that box lid as I'm moving and in colors and I'm lining and getting things. That's kind of that color. But what do you do if you don't have the box lid? Then you're in trouble, right? You see, living for God is kind of like being on one piece of the puzzle without the box lid. All you see is blue. You think, well, I'm a piece of sky. No, you're a piece of water. Well, I'm a piece of sand. No, you're a camel's back. See, when you're on that one piece, you can't tell because you don't have, but God's got the box top. He knows what the final picture is going to come out to be. And so we have to trust him that whatever little piece we're on and doing our little part, because you see, if every other piece of that puzzle is put together and that one piece is missing, that's you, it's not complete. But God never puts together an incomplete puzzle. And we just have to understand and believe that our little piece is important and that he knows where it goes, okay? So we got to start at the top and we got to work down. In other words, we got to start with the creator and work to the creature and not the other way around, which is what we try to do. Psalm 36, verse 9. Excuse me. For with you is the fountain of life. Look at this. In your light, we see light. That's a powerful verse. We can't even see light unless we're in his light. If we think we know so much. But modern Christian thought has gotten to this point to where it prefers a God that's more like us rather than different from us. Because if he's more like us, then he'll think like us. And because of that, what modern Christian thought has done is it's domesticated God. We've brought him down to a level that we can handle him. We can tell him what we want him to do. We can let him out of the box when we want to. We can lock him back up when we want to. We can control him. But let me tell you something tonight. That is not the God of the Bible. That's not the God that created you. That's not the God that's going to see you in the end. That's not the God you're going to be judged by. The God you're going to be judged by is the God who created you, the God who moves you. Let me remind you of one thing. He is the potter, you're the clay. It's not the other way around. But you see, we want to make him in our hands and make him look like. See, that's the whole problem right now in this world. We've turned God into this God of love and nothing else. And when you turn God into a God of love and you take away all the other things, what ends up happening is you say, well, God loves me so much, I can do whatever I want to do because he wants me to be happy. Let me tell you something, that's not the God of the Bible. And we're going to get to that in a minute. I don't want to get ahead of myself there. He's different from us. He's a different kind of being. He's the creator, not the created. But most of us serve a God we've created in our mind. We're in his hands. He's not in ours. Look at Isaiah 40, verse 28. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth. He never faints nor is weary. Listen to this. This is it. His understanding is unsearchable. We try to question him. His understanding is unsearchable. Saint Augustine, whatever you want to call him, I don't care. He was an old guy now. He said this. He put it like this. He said, to obtain some slight knowledge of God is a blessing. To comprehend him, however, is impossible. And when you realize that, it changes the way you look at him. And you begin to realize that what you know of God, he has revealed to you. You don't know anything about God outside of what he's revealed to you. You wouldn't even know he existed if he didn't choose to reveal himself. But he has chosen to reveal himself in certain ways. He's infinite. We're finite. We get into this thing where we look at God and we say, well, he's just like me. He's just a little bigger. We turn it into a thing of size. And if you do that, you're assuming one up front that God can be measured. But if God's infinite, he can't be measured.
That's good, Steve. That's good.
Yeah. God is not like you, but just a little bit taller. That's what I call the superhero syndrome. Most of us, we've got God on Marvel Comics doing great. He's just like us, but his powers are just a little greater than ours. He's a little stronger than me. He can stretch his arm when he needs to, but he's in that superhero category. But other than that, he's just like me. That's not God. That may be the God you've made up in your mind. It may be the God you serve, but that's not God. Now, he's not a God who simply possesses our strengths and powers in greater capacity. He's totally different. Totally. He's infinite. And let me just go ahead and throw this. God doesn't need you. So get over yourself. He doesn't need me. His greatness is in no way dependent on what he does for you or what he does for me. He's still God, whether he answers your prayer or not. He's still great. He doesn't depend on the world for his existence. He doesn't depend on the world for his happiness. He doesn't depend on the world for his self-fulfillment.
That's true.
He is life in and of himself. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. Now, he chooses to interact with us, but he doesn't need us. Sometimes the way I see we act, if I was him, I wouldn't choose to do any of that. He'd be better off without us. Y'all got quiet on that one. But that's the difference between him and us. He has life within himself. He is life. We depend on him for life. Now, so he's different. We have to admit that. Now let's look at another aspect of this, kind of pull it back together. God is whole and cannot be divided. And we try all the time, but you can't. With God, there's no difference in what he is and what he has. It's one and the same. If he were divisible, in other words, if we could separate that love part and put it over here, he wouldn't be perfect anymore. Because if he was divisible in parts, the parts would interact against each other. Justice, mercy. But he's whole. I know that that's out there a little bit, but hang with me. You see, that's why God doesn't change. Because he's already perfect. And these people right now that are saying, well, we need to adapt the Bible to our times. God doesn't change. God was perfect when he created the world. He's perfect today. If you're perfect, you don't need to change, right, Pastor? I tell my wife that every day and she won't listen to me. See, change indicates imperfection. If I'm perfect and I say, well, I'm going to change this, why am I changing that? Because it wasn't perfect, so I got to fix it. So now I'm, you see? So there's no change in perfection. And did you know this? This is going to blow your mind. Did you know God has no potential? I want you to think about this a minute now. God has the ability to give you potential. But God has no potential. We call him omnipotent. Now that means all potential. But the reason we say that is because he has all potential to give it to you. If you're perfect and you have everything, see, potential is the power to change. And so God has no potential, but what he has is all the power to give you to change and to change things around you. So his omnipotency is really in your benefit. His attributes are not part of the whole, they're the whole. Now I'm going to give you a little illustration. I threw out that title there earlier about God being a cheesecake. Steve, would you get my little green bin and bring that up here to me for a minute, please? What's the matter? You sure? Not supposed to be.
Ain't my bin.
Did you feel it? Caution. Contents may be hazardous to your health. Handle with caution. Should be handled by trained handlers only. Pastor, you want to come open this? No, I don't think so. I'm going to see what we got going on here. Oh. In the words of Steve Irwin, the crocodile hunter, she's a beaut. See if I can get this out of here. I have to be careful with this. Now. I see some of y'all already got your hand on. You think I'm about to pull a snake out, and y'all are ready to run. Yeah? You're ready to go. Some of them are on set already, Pastor. He put a snake out, I'm out the back door quick. No, look at this. Look at this. This is a cheesecake. Now, this is not a whole cheesecake. You say, yes, it is. It's perfectly round. All the pieces are there, right? But there's a problem with this cheesecake. This is one of them kind. These are real popular now. If you go to stores, it's got the variety pack. This is the way we treat God. This is the way most of us see God, right? This variety pack. Because you see, now I like chocolate and caramel. They're right there. Looks pretty good to me.
Yes,
Lord. Now, so if I were to open this up, that's probably the piece I'd want. Now, some of you might, whatever this is, this is some strawberry. That's strawberry lover. There's some plain. So we got some plain folks sometimes. That's all right. And then this one, I don't know if chocolate of some kind in it. And you know, some of it, it's kind of like, if this is God, it's chocolate piece. That's got to be the love part. Right? Yeah. The chocolate and caramel, that's got to be the love part. Now, this plain over here. Yeah, this is the justice part, this plain. Nobody wants that. You can lay this on the table and all the rest of it would be gone. Those three, they'd be there lonely all by themselves. But this is the way we look at God. There's different parts that can be taken away. Now, we think that's a whole cheesecake, but really it's not. It's parts of different cheesecakes. So it's not whole. And so with this, you could pick and choose what you wanted, whatever suited your taste, right? What was that?
She said you're going to pass that around.
Not yet. Wait a minute now. Wait. We got, now, I want to show you a different. I'm talking chocolate and caramel and nuts and whipped cream and it is hazardous to your health. I'll tell you that now. But you see, here's the difference. I can get that cheesecake. I can get one of those pieces, whichever flavor I want. And if I eat it, that's the only flavor I'm going to get. But this one, I'm going to tell you right now, every bite you take is going to have all of this in it. Chocolate chips and chocolate and caramel and nuts and whipped. See, you're going to get it all.
Yes, sir.
See, here's my point tonight. You can't pick and choose what part of God you want. He's going to give you all. When you take a bite out of God, you're getting all of God. You're getting the love, you're getting the justice. You're getting the mercy, you're getting the grace. You're getting all of his attributes. You cannot divide him up, because if you divide him up, he's not God. But this cheesecake now,
yes, sir.
It's got God wrote all over
it. Yes, sir.
I'm telling you.
Yes, sir.
That's. Now, so we can't divide him up. We get him all. But how do we even know God? If he's that far above us and he's not like us and he's different from us, how do we even know him? Well, God understood we're going to have that problem, see? And so what he did, he gave us a way. And the way he gave us was this. Throughout the Word, and especially in the Old Testament and even a few times in the New Testament, God reveals himself to us through his names. Because his names help us to understand a little bit of who he is. So what I want to do now, we're going to shift a little bit here. We're going to look at just a few of his names. Depending on how you define a name, I guess, some people say there's as many as 1,000 in the Old Testament. Some people say 400. There's a bunch. I don't know. So bottom line is, I hope you had a snack, because we're going to be here for a while. But we got a snack. First come, first serve. So that's one way to get everybody to the altar, Pastor. We'll leave the cheesecake up here. So let's look at a few of God's names. These are a few of the more common ones and how they can play out in our life. The first one I want to look at is Adonai. Adonai. Because you see, if you don't understand Adonai, the rest of them won't mean anything. You say, well, what does Adonai mean? Adonai means the Lord or Master. Now, those of you that hung with me through the kingdom teaching, that hits home real quick, doesn't it? Because we talked a lot about the Lord and what that means. But you see, here's the bottom line. If you don't understand him as Lord, the rest of these won't matter. Right. Look at Psalm 97:5. Here's a verse for you on this one. The mountains melt like wax at the presence of the Lord. At the presence of the Lord, that second one there is Adonai of the whole earth. At the presence of the Lord of the whole earth, the mountains melt like wax. He is Lord of the whole earth. He is Lord of all. And he's either Lord of all or he's not Lord at all. And you see, most of us are treating him like that cheesecake. We're calling him Lord and we're picking the flavors we want and we're leaving the rest of them on the plate. But you can't do that. He's either Lord of all your life or he's Lord of none of your life. If he's not Lord of all of it, you're just giving him lip service. And there's no meaning in what you're saying. If you don't make him the Lord of your life, none of these other things that he reveals himself as will mean anything in your life because they're not going to operate in your life. Jesus said you got to be in the vine. You got to be connected. And we like that verse where he says, you know, ask whatever you will and I'll give it to you, but you forget about what it says before that. As long as you are following me, and I'm paraphrasing, then I'll give you whatever you ask. So he's got to be the Lord of your life. And so if you find yourself in the dungeon, as Paul did, the first thing you got to ask yourself is the God that I say I know the Lord of my life? Because if he's not, you're in trouble from the beginning. But you know the good news? He can become the Lord of your life like that. It's a decision you've got to make in your mind and in your spirit. You can fix that real quick. Now, walking it out takes some work, but you can do it. So Adonai, he's the Lord. He owns it all. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and that means he owns you. I'm not calling you a cow. Okay? Got to be Lord. Adonai. Let's move on to another one. This one everybody likes too. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. We like this one. We even had some songs about this one, didn't we, Adam? Look at the verse with this one. This comes from the story of Abraham and Isaac. The verse is, Genesis 22:14. And Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. This is when he was about to kill his only son. You remember the story? As it said to this day, in the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. In the mount of Jehovah, it shall be provided. He is Jehovah Jireh, our provider. Well, we like to sing that one. We like to shout that one. We get all excited when we sing that one because we all have needs. And I have to believe that when Paul over in Philippians 4:19 wrote those words that my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory, he was thinking of Jehovah Jireh. He was thinking of the God who can because he owns everything. He is Lord of everything. And because he is Lord of everything, he can control everything. And because he's Lord of everything, he can shift things around within his kingdom. And when you have that need, when you've called on him as Lord, then he can show up for you as Jehovah Jireh. And he can meet your need. I don't care if it's a financial need. I don't care if it's a relationship need. There's no definition of need there. It's just a need. If you have a need, the only place you should be looking is to him. That's right. He's got the answers. He is the answer to every need that you have because he owns everything. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord my provider. Yeah, we like that one, don't we? Well, here's another one we like. Jehovah Rapha. The Lord my healer. Some of you have met him personally. Some of us haven't yet. Maybe we will. Maybe we'll need it. Maybe we won't. But Jehovah Rapha, the Lord my healer. Exodus 15:26. Now I want you to listen to this verse carefully. If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in his sight, give ear to his commandments and keep all his statutes, I will put none of the diseases on you which I have brought on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. I am Jehovah Rapha. But when does Jehovah Rapha operate? When you follow him. Most of us have got God in our box. And when things go wrong, we think we can say a little secret prayer, a little simple prayer, and pull him out of the box just long enough to fix what we want fixed and then put him back in the box again. Because we don't want him controlling everything because we like too much of the other stuff we're doing that we're afraid he might make us stop if we actually stopped and asked him about it. And so we let him out just when we have to. Next to Jehovah Jireh, this is the most called on attribute of God, I think. Our world is full of sickness right now, obviously. This virus thing floating around. But you know what? Jehovah Jireh is bigger than coronavirus. Amen. Remember the no in the no?
That's right.
We need to quit living in fear and start living in faith.
Yes, sir.
And you know, if the church were to really do that, Pastor, if the church all around were to really get a hold of the idea of living in faith and not living in fear, it might start to affect some of those people outside the church. But some of the church people are just as afraid as the ones that are anywhere else. Jehovah Rapha, he is our healer. Well, let's look at another one. Jehovah Nissi. I like this one.
Oh, yeah.
Jehovah Nissi. The Lord our banner, or it can be translated the Lord our miracle. And this one comes from the story of Moses and the children of Israel fighting the Amalekites. And Moses is standing up on the hill, you know. And this battle's going on and on. And the Lord told Moses, hold your hands up. Well, as long as he holds his hands up, his side's doing good. Moses gets tired, drops in, his side gets whipped. Back up again, they start winning. Back down. So finally, you know, they put him down on a rock and two of them get up there and hold his hands up till they finally win the battle. And look at Exodus 17:15. Moses built an altar and he called its name, the Lord is my banner. The Lord is my miracle. Sometimes we need a little help from our friends. Is that the Beatles? Need a little help from our friends? I'm not good on this. Huh? Okay, that's who it was. Thank you. I don't know music very well. You can tell that. And that's what we're in here for tonight. Because you see, there are days that I get down and I just let the world get the best of me. Pastor will tell you, a lot of those days I call him or I text him or whatever. And he does me. We play each other and we hold each other's arms up. And everybody's got to have that.
Yes, sir.
But he is our banner. He's planted a banner over us. You know, back in those days in war, each military that was going had their banner. And at certain times when things got scattered, they would rally back to that banner to regroup and to fight again. And that banner clearly marked who they were and who they were fighting for. And on that day, the Lord planted a banner over Israel and said, they're mine. And Amalek, you can't have them. They're mine. Did you know that he's willing to plant that same banner over you? Because you're his. If you've accepted Christ and the blood of Christ has washed your sins away, you've got a banner over you.
Yes, sir.
And when the devil comes, you just say, wait a minute, look up. Look at this banner. You can't come in here. You can't come in here. Jehovah Nissi. Let's look at another one. This is a good one. Jehovah Tsidkenu. Say that one fast. You have to, because you might. That if I say it fast, you don't know if I'm saying it right or not. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Oh, I like that. Jeremiah 23:6. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now, this is his name by which he will be called the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Tsidkenu. Jeremiah prophesied a day that was yet to come when he would be our righteousness. And the good news is you and I live on the other side of that prophecy being fulfilled. We live on the other side of the cross, because when Jesus went to the cross and died for us, he became our righteousness. And we are in Christ. And we're protected in Christ. I'm going somewhere with all this. So just hang on. We're getting there. Jehovah Tsidkenu. Look at another one. Jehovah Roah. The Lord our shepherd. Psalm 23:1. Most of you could say this one with me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. How many of you wanted something today? If you've wanted something, there's one of two problems. Number one, you need it. You're not asking, you're not in faith, or God hasn't decided yet. But here's the big thing. Most of us, what we want really is what we want, not what God wants. If he's my shepherd, he knows more about what I need. You see, those sheep are dumb. They'll do some dumb, sheep will do some dumb things. It's not a coincidence God chose sheep to compare us to. I'm telling you. And those sheep are led by that shepherd, and he knows what's better for them than they know theirself. They may want that green-looking stuff over there because it looks good. But that shepherd knows that if they go over there and they eat that green weed over there, their stomach's not going to do too good with them. So he takes them to another place and gives them something that may not look as good to them, but it's better for them. We need to realize that he knows more about what our wants. Our wants need to be his wants rather than what we want. We spend a lot of time praying for what we want. The shepherd knows best what's for the sheep. One more. Jehovah Shalom. I like this one too. The Lord, I like them all. You notice that? Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Look at Judges 6, verse 23 and 24. Then the Lord said to him, peace be with you, do not fear, you shall not die. This is Gideon. Gideon was hiding out, remember? He's hiding out because they were being invaded and he didn't want to get caught. So Gideon built an altar there to the Lord and he called it, the Lord is peace. Jehovah Shalom, because the Lord told him, peace be with you. It's still there. Gideon found peace in God's presence. That's the only place you're going to find peace today, folks. I'm just going to tell you that right now. He was hiding out in fear, but in the presence of the Lord, he found peace. Now, see, here's what I want to remind you. When you need Jehovah Jireh, you need something. You have a need that needs to be filled. You need him to provide. And he shows up. You say, well, I got to buy the Jehovah Jireh. Yeah, but you also got to buy the Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah. You see, you can't separate him. When you get a bite of one of them, come on now, when you get one, you get them all. God doesn't split himself up into little pieces and just send you what little bit you need. When he comes in whole. He comes totally. When he comes with healing, he comes with supply. When he comes with supply, he comes with peace. See, it all comes together. You can't just get one without the other. We're so busy looking at the one thing that we miss the other. So, if Adonai is your Lord. That's the first thing, right? If Adonai is your Lord and all of a sudden you have a need, here's what happens. Jehovah Jireh shows up. And when Jehovah Jireh shows up, your need is met. I don't care what it is, how big it is. It might be a big number, too big for your head, but it's not too big for him because he's infinite. When Jehovah Jireh shows up, you will get everything you need. But you don't only get Jehovah Jireh, because when Jehovah Jireh shows up, Jehovah Nisi comes with him, Pastor. And when Jehovah Jireh is filling your need, Jehovah Nisi's sitting there and he's putting that banner over your head. And when he puts that banner over your head, the devil comes sneaking in and says, wait a minute now, that one's mine. You, no, 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 no. That one's mine. And you know why he's mine? Because Jehovah said Canu is his righteousness. He doesn't belong to you anymore, devil. I planted my banner over him. You stay away from him. And I'm going to tell you something. When you realize that, here's what happens next. What happens next is you start following Jehovah Roah. And when you start following Jehovah Roah in, then you're walking in peace with him because he's leading you into those green pastures in the middle of your walk, in the middle of your need, in the middle of your sickness, in the middle of your heating. He'll lead you to those paths. And not only that, but when you get there, you're going to lay down in that green grass and you're going to lay down beside those still waters, and Jehovah Shalom is going to sit there and he's just going to calm you and he's going to give you peace. And all around you, the world's falling apart and going to hell, but you can stand because you know Jehovah. You know Adonai. You know who he is. Now you think that's good. Wait, it ain't over yet. See, this cheesecake's good. But if it had another layer of chocolate, it'd be even better. That's Ghirardelli chocolate, too. You know, you ever heard about the icing on the cake? I'm going to put some icing on your cheesecake. See, all that's good. But here's the best part. Remember Moses? Moses messed up in Egypt, killed a man, got ahead of God's plan. Because of it, he found himself walking around in the desert, following stinking old sheep and goats. 40 years, walking in the desert. One day, he's walking along in the desert. He looks up on this mountainside there. He said, what is that? Something burning up there. That's a strange thing. I think I'm going to go look at it. And he goes up there, and he sees the bush. And it's burning, but it's not burning. That don't fit human logic either, does it? But he sees it burning, and he, you remember the story. He goes through this whole thing. God tells him to take his shoes off, his holy ground, tells him what he wants him to do, and go back and free my people. You remember the story. But then Moses, he says, but who am I going to tell them sent me? And God says, man, tell them I am. Tell them I am sent you. Folks, do you get it? Put the two together. He didn't say, tell them I was. He didn't say, tell them I'm going to be. He said, tell them, I am. I am is only good right now in this moment. Right now. So the icing on your cake is this. God was telling Moses was, I am right now in this moment your provider. I am right now in this moment your healer. I am right now in this moment your banner. I am right now in this moment your shepherd. I am right now in this moment your peace. I am right now in this moment your righteousness. You didn't have to live on yesterday. You don't have to wait for tomorrow because I am right now. You don't have to wait any longer. We can just eat the cheesecake right now. Do you know him? I wish I could describe him. I really wish I had a way to describe him. But he's indescribable. He's unsearchable. But what little bit I know, and what little bit he keeps showing me, he just keeps getting bigger, bigger, bigger. You know, a lot of times we hear things and we tell people, say, well, practice what you preach. You ever told anybody? Don't even answer. I know you have. The question probably is, anybody ever told you that? Yeah. Yeah, they have. I was thinking about this today. I'm going to practice what I'm preaching, Pastor. See, I hadn't told anybody that number yet. I hadn't told you. You don't know what it is. Catherine knows. I'm going to speak it because I believe right now Jehovah Jireh is here now. The Lord told me to raise $250,000 That's a lot of cheesecake.
That's a lot of cheesecake.
But you know what? I know one that's bigger than that number. He's not afraid of that number. He doesn't even flinch at a number like that. I know him. And I'm not going to say no to him. Because I know whatever he's ordained is a done deal. Now listen, some of you sitting in here tonight, you got things going on. Maybe it's financial burdens, maybe it's sickness, maybe it's, I don't know, relationships. There's all kinds of issues that we all deal with each and every day. But he is. He is right now in this moment. He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He is Jehovah Rapha, your healer. He is Jehovah Nisi. If you're under attack, he's planted a banner over you. You know, something interesting. We all worry about the devil coming against us. I realized some time ago I wished he would come hard against me, and here's why. The Bible says I'm in Christ. You? Yeah. Well, do you realize where the devil's going to have to come to get me? He's going to have to come in Christ. And you know what the Bible says? That any man that's in Christ is a new creation. The devil comes after me in Christ, he's going to get saved too, and that ain't going to happen. So he ain't coming after me. He's not. He can't mess with me. I'm in Christ. I feel a very strong anointing tonight that I rarely feel. I want to give you, if you're here tonight, you got that need, whether it's, I don't care what it is, it doesn't matter, because there's not a need that you could have of any type, flavor, that's bigger than the one I know. I want you to stand up. If you got a need, I want you to stand up. Just be honest. Do practice what we preach. That's what I just did. Amen. Now I'm going to ask you to go one step further. I'm going to ask you to come up here. Just line up. And here's what I'm going to do. As you come, I'm going to step in front of you. I don't want a big explanation of what's going on. Give me two or three words. It's sickness, it's money, it's family, it's whatever. I don't care. Just something simple. And when I touch you, we're going to be in agreement. And Jehovah, Lord Jehovah, the one who is right now, is going to fill that need. Amen. You believe that? God's good, isn't he? All right, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Catherine, you want to? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to take these two cheesecakes. Catherine's going to carry them into Kathy. Now, these are little pieces. Maybe you only get a half one. I don't know. She's got some plates and fork. Now, here's what. You know, the Bible says, God says, taste and see that the Lord is good. So I'm going to let you taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. Because if y'all don't go eat this, it's going in the trash because I'm not carrying it home. It's hazardous to my health. Okay. No. So go get it. Okay. Please do. Let's stand up together. Let me bless you as you go tonight. Catherine, go ahead and take this so you can get through. Huh? If you got an offering tonight, if you can, Keith's got it. If you brought your offering prepared to give tonight, one of the ushers will be at the back door. Just give it to them on your way out. It'll be fine. You don't get out of giving just because we didn't pass the plate. God's still waiting on it. In the name of Jesus, I bless you tonight. I say you are the head, not the tail. You're going over. You're not going under. You are somebody special. You are a child of the King. And Jehovah is walking with you, and his banner is planted over you. Go in peace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.